Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody out here today. We'll be inviting the kids to go back to kids' worship as we prepare to continue with our lesson series, Encounters with Jesus. We began just a few weeks ago. Today's lesson is going to be called Show and Tell. Show and Tell. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Luke 5, 12 through 16. That's on page 1598 of your Pew Bibles, if you'd like to use those. Beginning in verse 12 of our text, it says, "While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand," it says, "and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered the man, 'Don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them.' Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." Verse 16 of the text says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." For all intents and purposes, leprosy was the AIDS of the first century. People really did avoid lepers like the plague. Not all forms of leprosy were contagious, but since the average Joseph on the street couldn't tell one kind of leprosy from another, as a rule, people just gave a wide berth of all lepers. Lepers were completely cut off from family and friends, moved outside the city to colonies of others just like them. An infected one could not come into a populated area without announcing his or her bad condition. "Unclean! Unclean! Make way for one is unclean." They were certainly not permitted in the temple courts. The law forbid them. It was for the safety of the people, as well as to teach the people the principle that absolute purity was necessary to come into the presence of God. But these lepers were in a sad situation, often a people without hope. They were people who were considered to be unclean, only to be pitied, and to be shunned. I want you to imagine for a moment that would describe you. But you've been quarantined, isolated, abandoned, that people would cross the street to avoid you, that you would be denied all human contact, whether a mother's touch, child's hug, or lover's embrace. And if that wouldn't be bad enough, that you'd be barred from assembly with the church family, and even told that God Himself cannot bear the sight of you. And you believe that yourself, because whenever you've caught a glimpse of your reflection in a pool or a pond, or a piece of glass, or a mirror, you would agree that you are pretty unsightly, pretty disgusting, and you couldn't bear to look at yourself. But then you hear about Jesus. You hear that He is kind and He's compassionate. You hear that He loves everyone no matter who they are or where they've been or what condition they're in. You hear that He has power to heal. And you hear that this man, this prophet, this teacher is coming to a town near you. Now, how did you hear about all that? Well, bad news can travel fast, but so can exceptionally good news. In the previous chapter, Luke chapter 4, Jesus announced in the temple courts that he was the one who was predicted, who would come in the fullness of time, the one who had been prophesied about, the one who would bring sight to the blind, who would make the lame walk, who would restore relationships, who would heal and have compassion on people. And though he was not well received for that statement, you can be assured the word got around his claim. And not only the word got around of his claim, but that he was fulfilling those claims. And you hear that he's coming near. What do you do? Do you wait in hopes that he just might cross every cultural barrier and come to you, to come into the leper colony, something people would not do? Or do you do what this leper does in our story? Do you go to him? Do you run the risk of going to him? Realizing that though you've heard good things about him, that your experience has been that everyone turns away and turns you away. I have a question for you. Is there anything in your life that keeps you from living life the way that you were meant to live it? Is there any disease or addiction or uncleanness in you that you carry that keeps you from enjoying the closeness and the intimacy of God-honoring relationships? Is there some sin that you were convicted of and you were convinced would cause the roof to cave in if you crossed the threshold of the church? You actually did. Or is there something in your life that you are sure makes you so disgusting in the eyes of God that you don't dare approach him, that you are convinced that he can't bear the sight of you? If that's you, please, please don't tune out now. But get tuned in. Because when this leper sees Jesus, and keep in mind that it would have had to be from a distance, he wouldn't have been able to come too close, he falls face down and begs. That's what the scripture says. It says he begs. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Hear that. Though it seems more like a statement than a plea, it is a plea. It's a petition. He is pleading for the Lord to do what he believes he can do. And I want you to hear that. This leper does not doubt Jesus' ability. He is confident that Jesus can heal his condition. The only question in his mind seems to be, is Jesus willing to do that? Perhaps that's more like us than we care to readily admit. That we believe that Jesus is able, that he's capable of making a difference in our lives, but we're just not so sure that he would be willing to. But why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be willing to help us? Well, maybe we think we aren't worthy of his attention, or that we deserve to suffer because of something we've done or said, that this is some judgment from God upon us. And maybe we believe that because of something we should have done or said but didn't. Again, this is judgment. And we deserve our condition. Perhaps we don't see how we could possibly ever repay Jesus. If he were to do something for us, we don't see why he should do this for us. I mean, what benefit could we possibly be to the kingdom? What gifts, what talents, what abilities, what skills, what resources do we possibly have that would be of any value to him? Maybe in the scheme of things, we just think our problems are insignificant to him. I mean, after all, in the sea of humanity, with all the tragedy, the hurt, the heartache, the pain, the misfortune, the difficulties, why would he care about what's going on in our life? the man David, the man after God's own heart, he had similar thoughts. In Psalm 8, he says, God, when I consider the work of your hands, when I consider how awesome and mighty and wonderful you are, who am I? Who am I that you would even consider me for a moment? Who am I that you would even know me, let alone care about me? Who am I? And maybe we just think that our request would be viewed as being pretty selfish. I mean, once again, how could his healing touch be of any blessing to anyone else but us? It's true that 1 John 5, 14-15 does teach us that if we're to have confidence in approaching God, we must pray according to his will. So what about it? Is it God's will for us to be spiritually clean? I don't think I need to quote book, chapter, and verse for you to know the answer to that already. Absolutely it is. Is his will for us to be restored in our relationship with him? No doubt in my mind. Is his will for us to be in communion with his people? Yes, yes, and 1,000 times yes. That's why he sent Jesus in the first place. To fulfill all of those needs. It is his will. Yet, is his will for us to be healed of every sickness and disease, to have every relationship that we've ever had restored? Maybe not. But hear me out. Think about this a minute. If we intend to continue in a lifestyle that is in contradiction to his plan for us, and that the disease, the difficulty, the problem that we have is a result of that, and then we plan to continue in it or return to it, why in the world would he bless that? Why would he restore that relationship? I don't think that he would. Or, if the last relationship we had was outside of his will in the very first place, we shouldn't have been involved in it. It was a contradiction again to what his expressed plan for us is in the scripture. Then would he restore that? I don't think so. Why would he cleanse us of leprosy if we intend to go right back to the leper colony? Just to be infected again. So is his will to heal us of every problem, to fix us, no matter what the situation? Let me just say to you, it isn't me whom you should be asking those questions. Ask him. Ask him. Go directly to the source and ask him. But when you do, make sure you ask him like the leper did, in fullness of faith, believing that he has the power to do what you're asking him to do. Jesus says in Mark 11:24, if we ask believing, we've already received what we're asking for, we'll receive it. James 1:6 says that we must believe and not doubt if we expect to get what we ask for. So yes, ask him if he's willing. But ask him, believing that if he is willing, he has power to heal, to restore, to cleanse. The leper believes that. He comes in faith and he asks. I want you to notice Jesus' reply. Because I am willing. Be clean. And at that moment, everything for the leper has changed. He who had been unclean, pitied, and shunned was now cleansed and purified and welcomed. And such can be the case for all. Who will humbly come to Jesus? Who will bring their brokenness, bring their sin, bring their shame, bring their uncleanness? In a single encounter with Jesus, You too can be changed. You too can be made whole. You too can be forgiven. You too can be cleansed. I think it's interesting that Jesus told the man to not say anything to anyone, but to go and show himself to the priests. That's according to the law. That like getting a doctor's release before returning to work and to normal life within the community, the law required priests to inspect anyone with a skin disorder to make sure they were not going to infect others, that they truly were cleansed, that they truly were healed, that was truly safe. Now, if this leper was totally compliant to what Jesus said, how did the word get around that Jesus had made him clean? And it did. The text we read says so. It spread everywhere. People were coming to him. They were bringing their sick. They were coming to him in droves. What happened? Well, the crowd that saw the change evidently talked. And imagine, well, you would have talked too, right? You'd been going around, well, guess what I saw today? Guess what I witnessed today? Guess what happened before my very eyes? The man, the leper, you know, he came to Jesus, and Jesus cleansed him. Jesus touched him. Jesus healed him and made him whole. Just like that, you talk, wouldn't you? And if he didn't do it beforehand, I'm pretty sure that the man who had been cleansed did as well. I'm sure that once he told the priests and showed himself to the priests, they asked, how did this happen? What happened to you? How in the world is it that your leprosy has cleared up, that you were a leper just yesterday and today you're clean? How did that happen? How did it happen? And rather than say, well, you know what, I'm not allowed to tell, I'm relatively sure that he interpreted what Jesus says, don't tell anyone until you show the priest. And I believe he talked. I believe he told everyone. When he went back to his family, when he went back to his friends, when he went into the temple, that he talked, he shared what Jesus had made him clean. Matter of fact, sometime later, Jesus came upon a whole crowd of lepers on his way to Jerusalem. The events recorded in Luke 17, verse 12 and following. It says there that as Jesus was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us! And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And the writer tells us he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Or the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And I said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. How did these 10 lepers, this whole leper colony, learn of Jesus' ability to have pity on them, to cleanse them? How did they learn? Where did they get the courage? Where did they get the bravado to go marching up looking for Jesus? I believe they heard from the first leper, or at least heard about that leper and what Jesus had done for them. But it's interesting that Jesus, you know, here he doesn't even wait for them to come all the way to him. He doesn't even reach out and touch them this time. He doesn't do that. Know what he does instead. He says, oh, hey, guys, stop right there. Just go show yourself to the priest. Just go do what you're supposed to. And they might have thought, well, why do that? I don't have anything to show them. I don't have any testimony for them. Like the leper did. But they go, nonetheless, and as they go, on the way, they're cleansed. Now, it doesn't tell us whether the one who returned before he got to the priest or after, but soon he comes back and he praises God, it says. He thanked Jesus, and Jesus says, well, I wonder where the others are. I'm paraphrasing. Where are the other nine? Why haven't they come back to thank me? Why haven't they come back to praise God? Oh, have they just returned to their lifestyle? Have they just gone on their merry way without any thought of what they should do now with this new life that they've been given? Many of us here have been cleansed. Have we bothered to thank Jesus? Do we praise God for the forgiveness and the fellowship that we have with Him? And I don't mean just not even just one time, but do we live our lives as a praise to Him, as a life of gratitude to Him? If not, why not? Have we just returned to leper colony? Some of us, have we no testimony to show to the world? Remember, the leper, his cleansed life was a testimony. The goodness of God. To the power of Jesus. To the mercy. His life. His changed life. It's a testimony. Do we have a testimony, folks? Are we showing anyone? Are we telling anyone? Are we demonstrating to anyone what Jesus has done in our lives? I'm convinced more people would come to Jesus for cleansing if more people who have been cleansed would show and tell. What do you think? Father God, I want to thank you. In Jesus' name, for the cleansing we've received, for the new life we have in Him. And Father, though we were as lepers, we are as white as snow. Our sins have been washed away. Our hearts have been cleansed and purified. We are one with You because of Christ. We thank You. We thank You and praise You. May our lives be a testimony to that truth. And if there's anyone here today, in the hearing of my voice, who has not yet come to Jesus for cleansing in the first place, may they realize that no matter where they've been, no matter how much they have been ostracized and alienated and rejected, that Jesus will accept them if they'll come in faith and ask to be cleansed. He is able. He is willing. May they be willing. In Jesus' name, amen.